Romans chapter 5, if you'd like to turn your Bibles. I'm going to try to speak to you on the Bible teachings about sin. Had another message in mind. The song almost changed my mind, but I think we're going to stay with this. And stay with me. We're going to read the whole chapter. Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, while we were yet sinners, we were his enemy. He didn't die for us as a friend. He died for us as an enemy. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, the only hope of being saved from this wrath, which is eternity in the torments of the fires and flames of hell, separated from all that's good and without any love or affection or concern about anybody or for anybody or of anybody. It says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not computed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. what the Bible teaches about sin. What sin, or what is sin? It's an account of voluntary disobedience to divine law, and it's either omission or it is commission. Omission as well as commission. What is it? Voluntary disobedience to divine law. Well, why should a lost man be concerned about this? Why should he obey the divine law? Why should he obey the God of heaven? Because he belongs to God. God created him. He's God. Our life exists because of God. We take our next breath in because of the grace of God. And so all men need to be concerned about the disobedience to this divine law. So the offenses can be omission or commission. You can do three things with it. You can ignore it, you can deny it, or you confess it. Some deny it, others ignore it. God calls men to repent and confess their sin. Look at Acts, the 17th chapter and verse number 30. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. The Bible says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." The time of the ignorance? The time of the ignorance was when we were in innocence. We sin from the time we're born because it's our nature to sin. But God winks at it until we come to the age of accountability or the knowledge of good and evil. He winks at it. But now, when you come to that age, he commands all men everywhere to repent. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Not to ignore it, not to try some way of making up for it or getting out from under the consequences of sin, but accepting it, confessing it after repentance, willingness from the heart to turn from sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be in rebellion against this divine law and become fully obedient to it from the heart. The reality of sin can be omission. Look at James 4 and verse number 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it... That's 5 and 17. I want 4. 4 and 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So, the reality of sin is we can commit the sin of omission or we can the sin of commission. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. 1 John, 3rd chapter and verse number 4. The Bible says, "Whosoever committeth a sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." And remember, not the law of the land, but the divine law, the law of God, the word of God. When we go against the word of God, we're committing this sin. We're guilty of commission of sin. Sin can be also rebellion. Look at 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. That's that divine law, the word of God, the all scripture, the holy Bible. He hath also rejected thee from being king. There's a consequence, and a severe and dire consequence for sin, whether it's omission or whether it's commission. The originality of sin. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. He gave one law. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17. Genesis 2nd chapter and verse 17. The Bible says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. There's the sin. There's the consequences of that sin. And Adam and Eve suffered those consequences. They were separated from God and hid themselves and tried to cover their sin. And they were not successful because God came and called them. And when he called them, they came. And thank God that they repented, trusted him as their Savior, and made things right with him. So they transgressed the law of God. Genesis 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so we see that sin entered in the world by one man. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Also in James, the first chapter. James chapter 1 and verses 14 through 16. This is the way of sin. James 1, 14 through 16. Still the way of sin today. But every man is tempted. You got that? Every man is tempted. I think about Job. Satan desired to tempt him. Satan desired to sift him. And God let him do it. And Job stood true. He lost everything that he had. He was miserable. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family and his loved ones. He lost everything. And yet he stood for God. Yet he did not transgress the law of God. And the kind of man that he was, because he was saved by the grace of God and God changed his heart and shed the love of Christ abroad in his heart, he was praying for his children that they would not sin. And so he was close to God and in tune with God. And bless your heart, he stood with him throughout all. How many of us are ready to quit when a little bit of hardship comes along? We lose material things. We lose this or that. We lose a loved one. How many of us are tempted and ready to quit and walk away? We no longer want to keep the divine law of God. We no longer want to walk with God. Because they took everything. Listen, what do you think Jesus did? What happened to him? He was enjoying the glory of heaven and came down here to this sin-darkened, corrupt world and submitted himself to the punishment for your sins and mine. He lost everything. including being separated from the Father and the Holy Spirit, the one and only time. And no wonder the earth became dark and the rocks rent. Bless your heart. And the thunder went. Well, no wonder that the results like that. That was God suffering because of man breaking the divine law of God. Because of them being selfish and self-centered and wanting to have the best for them when their life exists for giving their best to God. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, wait a minute. That's the devil's fault because I fell into that. That's this one's fault or that one's fault because, no, listen to it. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Drawn away of his own lust. No one else did it. And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the same route that Eve took. She looked, she saw, it was beautiful, it was to be desired to make one wise and to be as God, knowing good and evil. What did she do? She was drawn away and enticed by the serpent. And then her own lust drew her away. And when that lust was conceived, it brought forth the consequences. That's how sin works in our life. Now, you reap what you sow. I reap what I sow. We all do when we get into this thing of being drawn away and sin takes over. There's a consequence. There's a penalty. But we need to realize and understand sin is real. It's universal. Not one has escaped being touched by sin. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not even one in the world in Romans 3 and 10. Romans chapter 3. And verse number 10. The Bible says that is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none righteous, not even one. Not even one in the world is right with God. Sinners by inheritance. Ephesians 2. In verse 3, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We inherited that nature to sin. We inherited that ability to sin. As a matter of fact, we were conceived with sin nature. Look at Psalms 51 and verse number 5. Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, I'm not talking about the act that brought about conception being sin. It's talking about by sin nature. He was conceived with a sin nature, conceived in sin and from that nature. 58 and verse number 3 of the book of Psalms. Psalms 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb, sinners from the womb. These little bitty babies, they're sinners. Their nature to sin. Duck's nature is to swim. Their nature is to sin. Our nature was to sin. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. But thank God he made provision for these. And yet they sin. They're still under the blood. They're still protected until they come to that age to where they know right or good and evil. Adam and Eve were in innocence until that time when they knew the difference between good and evil. What brought about that time? Sin. Until they sinned. When they sinned, what happened to them? What he was talking about. It's fruit to be desired to make one wise. So we know good and evil. Listen. All, not only are sinners by nature, and if we stop there, then that sin nature is to blame, or someone else had blame, or Adam is to blame. And Romans 3, begin with verse number 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is one that doeth good, or there is, they become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we are all sinners by nature and by practice. Listen, when we come to that age to where we understand the difference between good and evil, the Spirit of God draws us, and no man can come without the Father drawing him. And when that Spirit draws us at that point, we do not come to God, but we turn away. We seek after our own way. Isaiah 53 tells us that we've all gone astray. And so when that happens, there's the sin that makes us personally accountable. That's the sin that is the condemning sin to hell for the lost sinner. It's his sin that sends him there, and not Adam's or not someone else's. Listen, I know you want to try to think that you're above sin and you're going to be justifying. And I just what you say, preacher. No, this is what God says right here, right here. This is God speaking. He does not speak to individuals today. He speaks through his word today. And we need to get that down. Need to understand it. You're not going to get away from it because we're all going to stand and be judged by the word. So please wake up. Wake up. You're at that point. You've walked away. You sought your own. You want to have it your way. You don't want to believe in God. You're like the rest of this ungodly world out here. If there's no God, man, we're not accountable. But there is God, and we are accountable. How do you know there's God? Well, look at the creation. It declares his nature, the and the firmament shows his handiwork. There's no language where it's not understood. We need to quit ignoring sin. We need to quit denying sin. And we need to accept the fact that we are sinners, and we need to repent and confess those sins to God. Oh, man's great. Look at all the marvelous things man's done. Yeah, but he can't control the weather. Can't even control the weather. Matter of fact, there ain't much he can control. And listen, doctors that know anything will tell you that there's just a certain point they can come to help that body. But after that, it's in the hands of God. Yeah, now they may not voice that, but they know that. The effects of sin. It separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God, and have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. You know, comes a time when God says he'll laugh at your calamity, and he'll not hear you. You shouldn't put off turning to God and trusting him. Sin brings spiritual death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The result of sin is death. That's why people die. That's why people have bad diseases. That's why we suffer, because of sin. Sin brings about the second death. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. Revelation 20th chapter. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Oh, there's God's people. There's those that have truly repented their sins and by faith trusted Jesus as their Savior. Look at verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The reality is, we have sin to deal with. And the most important sin that we need to deal with is our own. Before we can do that, we have to consciously, from the heart, acknowledge that we are sinners, that we do sin. And then we have to understand and realize there's not a thing man can do to take care of his sin. There's nothing that we can do. Jesus did it all. God did it all for us. And all he asks is, will you believe my word? Will you believe and trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done to redeem you from the consequences of sin, from that death, that second death, that eternal suffering in the lake of fire, that eternal hell? And yes, there is a hell. And yes, there is an eternal hell. And yes, there is a heaven. Well, where do we find that? In the Bible. Man wouldn't know it if it wasn't for the Bible. This is the word of God. This is truth. Your condition confirmed. It's here. This is God's word. It's not man's ideas. It's God's. And it do us to heed. Acknowledging our sin. Acknowledging it to him. You don't need to acknowledge it to some man. First of all, you got to acknowledge it to yourself. Then acknowledge it to him. And then seek his forgiveness and cleansing. Jesus came preaching repentance. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. And he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, it's terrible that the word of God is wasted on so many because they are so arrogant and so lifted up in themselves. They think that man has the answer and the solution. Man will take you right into that lake of fire and brimstone. That's where he'll take you. He can't take you anywhere else. But listen, looking to Jesus and heeding his word will take you to heaven. It's a definite fire escape from hell. That's reality. That's a fact. Reality is we're sinners. And hopeless and helpless to save ourselves from the consequences of sin, which is death. Let's stand. So we need to come to Jesus, repent of our sin, and by faith trust him as Savior. You know what repentance is? It's a willingness from the heart to forsake ourself and those things that we've been holding on to, excusing and justifying, and look to Jesus Christ in a helpless state, seeking his forgiveness. What shall we sing, brother?
392.
You're here this morning, Spirit of God, touch your heart, come to Jesus.